gonna be fun. We can stay up late, swapping manly stories, and in the morning, I'm making waffles.
Oh!
Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
Hello. So, for reference point, this has been recorded right after we finished the Top 100 Part 5.
Yes.
I'm not referencing any of the stuff in it.
No,
I'm
just
Nope. I'm just going to say boo. That's it. There we go. Everybody will have to listen and make their own opinions. Be sure to go to the website and let us know. Have a conversation there.
Listen,
whether you comment, loved it, you hated it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's hold a discussion there. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be great. Especially since Beast Wars Megatron came in at number 62.
And Rodimus came in at 100.
Right.
Inflated numbers we are.
I'll deflate your number.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So anyways, what have you been working on aside from the top 100?
No, that's pretty much it. Mother effer. No, seriously, look. I am a podcast machine. I am an editing machine. However, as I've mentioned before on this show and other shows, I do not have our apartment complex only allows portable air conditioners. They do not allow window units. They do not have central. Okay, so in the state of Oregon, which is below Washington, as everybody knows, but we're literally like, we can look out our windows. It's right across the river from us. State of Oregon in Portland, Oregon, the whole state, 33% or less of dwellings have central air. In Washington state, it's even less of a percentage than 33%. You're lucky if you find a place with central air. And yeah, the living room of the apartment does not have. That's why I say every time before we usually record, I'll say, if you guys hear anything or whatever, I'll try to mute myself the best I can. But like right now, I can hear a motorcycle. And I've got I can hear a motorcycle through my headphones because I have to have the window open for air, except it's 100 degrees here. Anyway, this is not interesting to anybody. I have been pouring my blackened non-AC having soul into getting the top 100 Transformers characters countdown done and uploaded and ready to go for the next part one's out. As of this recording, part one was out, the hell date was yesterday? Crap, I don't even remember now. Tuesday, August 10th. So from Tuesday, August 10th to September 17th, we are going to be releasing the top 100 characters countdown. I already have 4 of the 6 parts edited, ready to go online. All of the ads are inserted. Everything is just ready to go. It just needs to be published for each week that we do it and whatever. That's essentially all I can work on because half the time I can't sit here. I'm lucky I'm able to sit here right now recording this episode with you because it literally is. If I brought my temperature clock gauge thing that Karen has in the bathroom out here to the living room, it would read 89 degrees. I remember about a month or so ago, we had this huge ass heat wave and heat dome and whatever else, and it read 89 degrees in this apartment. And it's like, holy crap. So yeah, no, I'm trying to do as little as I possibly can. Like literally, I'm like, okay, everybody, if I don't end up living in a different place with central air next year, all of my summer recordings are going to be between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. Pacific time. Because I can't do this nighttime record stuff anymore. It, like, literally, my back is, like, there have been times where I've recorded in this chair lately that I've gotten up and literally the chair comes with me because my pants are stuck. It's crazy. Anyway, it's enough about my stupid life.
So I've been working on the Beast Wars Dark Glass project.
Again, you've been resurrecting it. Yes.
Yes. I resurrected it with good cause because people care. it's like the perfect opportunity to revive this. And I figured, why not? Mm-hmm. So I am working diligently at this, including to the point of reviving the website. I rebought the domain and reset up the website, got it set up like it used to be, added some stuff, changed some stuff. I had a headache with a background image that I was messing with. And so I was like, I don't feel like messing with this for another like 3 hours. So I'm going to I just deleted the background and put a blank canvas. Right. Because what I had there before was supposed to line up with the menu, but for whatever reason, due to modern WordPress, it was like laughing at me. And so mm-hmm. I just said, screw it. And I deleted it. I've been working on that. People are very interested, especially because Kingdom was a letdown to a lot of people. Just in the voice acting department, the writing department, but on the, you know, the visual and getting Beast Wars back to some degree, people were excited about. But this all stems from another problem, which has been plaguing franchises for about 10 years.
Yeah,
pretty about much. 10, 11 years. It's the concept of romanticizing the villain. And it's funny because there was this big, long, drawn out conversation on the AllSpark Discord channel because we were talking about why, you know, certain series for us just plain don't hold up. I think it was because there's more leaked news about the Transformers live action movies and the fact that the studios like have no idea how to make something people care about.
Yeah.
And it's not that they're trying to make a good movie. They're just trying to make a movie.
Yeah.
And basically, unlike Disney, which when they ate up Star Wars and they ate up Marvel, they looked at the back canon. They looked at the history. They looked at everything and they said, what can we mine from this? Restart the universe, tell it from scratch and make it good and keep as, you know, authentic as possible to the designs, the characterizations, the, you know, how they, you know, should be portrayed and just, they put a lot of effort in. Now, nowadays, unless you're watching the Disney Plus TV series, which are the only thing that really stand out, the movie stuff since Endgame have kind of, I mean, there's not really been anything of note. And if there has been, nobody's really paying attention to it. It's kind of like they hit that formula too long. And yes, they're putting out still good movies, but they're not great like they used to be because they've kind of milked the franchise to the killing
point. Are you talking about Marvel or Star Wars?
Marvel. Star Wars is just they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, Star Wars is a hole in the bag. Okay.
Yeah, but that's Lucasfilm and that's not Kevin Feige. Kevin Feige, anything he touches turns to gold. Yep. And that's the problem is you get these bigwigs that have no cares, have no back knowledge of it. They're just studio heads. And that's the same reason why all of the DC and the Warner stuff has flatlined by comparison and they can't seem to build a universe is because they're not allowing the creation to happen. The TV side of it, I don't have any interest in anything outside of Flash at this point that DC puts out, which is kind of sad to say. I have very little interest even in the Flash at this point. I know they're wrapping up after season 8. They're going to end it with Reverse Flash as the main villain again. On a whole, like I don't care for anything DC's putting out. Whereas Marvel and Star Wars for their television side are slam dunking it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, here's the thing. DC TV from 2012 until now has had a decently good run. There's a few things in there that are a little whatever. But Arrow was, you know, it was what it was, but it was the one that started it all. Flash was good. I've all but lost interest in Flash completely. I just don't care.
I'm watching it to see it finish out.
Right, yeah. And I probably will too. But like for me at this point, I've taken it off my DVR and I'm just waiting for the final seasons to hit Netflix. Like I know season 7, which just ended, as you said, just hit Netflix. So I'll watch it eventually, but I want to watch it commercial free. I don't want to watch it with whatever.
Yeah, Netflix. I actually blitzed through the last like 4 episodes of The Flash on Netflix.
Yeah.
Some of it I was able to skip, some of it not, but they made it work. And honestly, the last 3 seasons have been lackluster. COVID kind of hurt them too, but but this next season is going to be good. And part of the problem is we were discussing on that forum is that a lot of the modern stuff, a lot of the reasons that people are mad at modern storytelling is because you're getting these aspects where, you know, the mindset is of heavily overhauling and modernizing beloved franchises because their version is a significant change to, you know, basically deconstruct and undo everything that most people love about it and replace it with a new beginning, which I get it from a starting point, but at the same time, you know, fandoms don't, they have like these weird extreme elements where they don't understand the difference between spite and constructive criticism.
Yeah,
because they're like you either unquestioningly love it or you hate it and thus they hate you.
Yeah,
which is terrible when you think about it, because you're not allowed to have an opinion. You're not allowed to have that constructive thoughts. And I think a lot of it boils down to we make the villain not the villain.
Yeah.
Like we have too much of that, humanizing them too much. I mean, Disney's been doing it for a while with, you know, their Cruella's, you know, movie with the Angelina Jolie ones where she's playing the wicked stepmother type thing, or, you know, from Snow White or whatever it's from. Maleficent. I don't need that, to be honest. Like, I don't need a reason why they're bad. I just need a concrete bad villain so that the good guys can stand on their own with that. Now, the problem with that is even in this War for Cybertron stuff, they made Megatron questionably decent. And in doing so, they neutered Prime, and he's no longer this beacon of hope and of upstanding. It makes him look petty and bad.
Yeah, the problem is where society has come. So you look at things like the Super Friends and Challenge of the Super Friends and Batman 66 and Wonder Woman 77 and Superman 78. And you look at all these firsts we've had, you know, DC Comics and Marvel Comics and whatever else has been around for 80, 90 plus years at this point now. And we've come from all of that to where we are now. And the thing of it is, and I more so blame social media than anything else, because it's these quick bites. Like, look, I'm the same way. I will have a quick reaction and then I will actually think about it and then go back and say, oh, well, that was my, when I first saw it thing, I don't really feel that.
It was the shock value.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just one of those things where the shock value most of the time, sadly, is all that people leave us with sometime. Well, yeah, but it's like you with Predacon. I'm just going to call him Predacon Megatron because he ain't Beast Wars Mega. He was called Predacon Megatron on the show. you know, you kept saying you wouldn't watch it if the voice wasn't good or whatever, whatever, whatever. You did watch it. You didn't like the voice, and that's fine. It is what it is. But it isn't like you going out there writing an article about the thing saying, oh my God, it's this, or oh my God, it's that, or well,
in, whatever. Even in my spoiler review, yeah. I was trying to be as diplomatic as possible, even with the shock value that was welling within me. And I wrote it, like, honestly, I wrote it the day before it was due. so that I had plenty of, because one, I just forgot, and two, I was on this mindset of like, I don't really want to totally take a dump on it because it's going to be somebody's gateway. Even if it's garbage, it's somebody's gateway.
That's the thing. Yeah.
And, but I wish that, you know, I mean, there was a lot of things going on with that came out after, you know, Netflix not allowing more than 6 episodes per chunk. And so it left them in this conundrum. Hasbro coming in, you know, while they're working on it. Hey, we want you to include this, and this, and you have to do it. And then Rooster Teeth with their lackluster voice direction and casting, you know, I mean, and the limited budget that was handed to them, I can understand why they got screwed on this entire trilogy. Like, I give them some of that benefit of the doubt, but at the same time, it still falls on them. And I like what they tried to do, but the implementation was bad. And so I feel like, and like I said, this conversation went, you know, that, you know, we're going to like these extreme elements of modern, you know, fandoms don't want, they get mad when something, you know, like for instance, Masters of the Universe, they changed a lot in it. And yeah, I mean, part of it's polarizing because some people hate Kevin Smith, and to be fair, he's a shill. You know, he's paid to do that. People know that. I mean, he's outside of his own movies. Yeah, he's directed some stuff that's not been his own, but he's a company man. You know, whatever he's being paid to handle, you know, whether it's DC movie previews or, you know, this and that, like he's a hype man. And so you got to expect he's going to give you hype and back it up the only way he knows how. And that's by talking crap. And part of, you know, like I feel like we try to over explain things a little much in all of these different storylines. Like they have too many overarching grabs for, you know, XYZ, but not enough payoff to make it worth it. But they still want you to be sympathetic to the villain. You know, they want to have you sympathize with them, you know, over what the villain has done or wants to do. But, you know, and how sometimes we, you know, only see them at their peak, or, you know, there's been a road to get there, and it's, you know, everything more or less has to be grounded and relatable and reflect, you know, the world nowadays, and the wonder of these stories of heroes and villains is kind of lost, and they're trying to parallel too much with how things are.
The problem,
because like everything has gotten really dark, and like there's not a lot of good versus evil. You have like a ton of gray, and that's what plagued the Star Wars movies. You know, the last three, that's what's plagued all the Transformers, a lot of the modern stuff. Like that's why there's the polarized hate in the Star Trek fandom too, over the new versus the old. And it's that they have this mentality of, you know, burn the old stuff down and start over, but not start over, you know, use what's here, use the established, but wipe that out and replace it with this, or, you know, or completely rewrite, you know, change old characters, you know, where, you know, they flip them on their polar opposites. You know, there's just a lot of that going on, and I get, you know, stretching the creative muscle, but it just doesn't resonate.
Well, here's the problem as I see it. Number one, we are 3 years away from the 40th anniversary of Transformers overall. So 40 years ago, let's say Hasbro came up with the idea or took the idea from Microman or however the origin of how the Transformers brand started. I know that I'm not looking at anything. I'm not trying to do any research. I'm just saying 1984 will be 40 years old in 3 years. Okay. Here's the thing. Hasbro, Disney, whatever. They all have these intellectual properties that have been around for four decades. That specifically to, let's say, Transformers, and I know this is not all things Transformers, but it's the easiest example I can give you and give the audience that I'm trying to make this point here. You have four decades of Transformers. You have multiple iterations of whatever. Forgiving someone, okay, how old are your boys right now?
8 and 6.
Okay. Let's go back to 1986 and 1988 when I was 6 and 8 years old. Watching He-Man, watching Thundercats, watching Voltron, watching Mask, watching Gem, watching Care Bears, watching He-Man and She-Ra and Transformers and everything else. It was my starting point. I didn't need to know because that's when it started. Thing is, your kids now are 6 and 8. Okay. Mm-hmm. They need something now that they can imprint on. Not what I imprinted on, not what you imprint. Like, I know you've shown them some Beast Wars stuff, and I know they love it, and that's great because they love it because you, as their father, loves it. That's awesome. Kids today need new stuff. I'm not talking about us. I'm not talking about the people that are old and gray and whatever else. We need new stuff too, and I'll get to that in a second. But here's the thing. There needs to be a new starting point with new, like, the companies, they want to protect and keep their IPs. That's the thing. They all want to, and rightfully so, as they should. The problem is how they go about doing that with whomever Hasbro gives the license out to for Transformers. Like, honestly, I don't remember the last time. Okay, I do, 2015. Before then, before Robots in Disguise with Will Friedle and whoever else was in there, because I know Will is in the union. I think he is. Anyway, but the point is, this whole union versus non-union stuff with actors and things like that, like, really, outside of Robots in Disguise in 2015, you look at Transformers over the last 11 years, the last time we had a union cast, major union cast, was Transformers Prime, and before that was animated. And it just seems like all these little tiny machinima 10-minute... Like, I look at Cyberverse and Robots in Disguise and a couple of... I look at those shorts that are now on Netflix, and I'm like, oh my god, these were 10-minute episodes on YouTube 5 years ago, or whenever it was. And I'm like, oh man, like... We need to find a way to, and that's the problem with the companies. The companies have to supposedly cater to the new fans, the children, and us old fans. That's why I liked with Prime and with Rescue Bots. Rescue Bots was kind of, I mean, adults could watch it, and I know several adults who have watched and like Rescue Bots. Michael Wilson loves it. I know Lady Rec loves it. Nicole, Beatles Diva loves it. I'm not saying you can't love it as an adult, but I'm saying in the Aligned Continuity, it was an Aligned Continuity. You saw Peter Cullen as Optimus Prime in both Transformers Prime and Rescue Bots. However, it was two separate shows. You didn't have to show the 6-year-olds the Prime cartoon, but you could show them the Rescue Bots cartoon. So that's the thing with companies is, number one, they want to protect their IPs. Number two, they need to find a way to cater to everybody, and that often falls flat with when they give out their license and who wants to have a budget for... Like, I don't know what Rooster Teeth and what, like, all the channels I watch on YouTube that react to some of this stuff or that do news things to this stuff are like, it's all about one franchise over the other. Like, and I'm not calling them out. I'm not being negative about them. I actually enjoy their videos. But Clownfish TV, Neon and Geeky Sparkles, hi guys, love your work. They have a ton of Masters of the Universe videos from the She-Ra Princesses of Power days to now. I don't think they've done one single Transformer video because, honestly, I think that Netflix buried the trilogy. I remember two trailers from one, maybe two trailers from each of those series. They weren't outside of a few major news outlets that are not solely Transformers based, like CBR or comicbook.com or whatever you want, whatever. There wasn't a lot of news for the War for Cybertron trilogy. There was, because I don't know why. Is it because Revelation had the major voice cast? They had Powerhouse Animation behind them. Is it that? Is it because Mattel decided to go the major route and get the union actors versus Hasbro and Netflix and Rooster Teeth and whatever going the cheap route? It's kind of like how you say about the paints on certain figures lately that they've been doing, that they've cheaped out on certain things. And I know companies cheap out all the time on toys. But it's just crazy that we live in a world now where the world revolves around these companies that want to protect their IPs and they don't want to start anything new. They don't want to create a new character. Like, there are at this point in time in 2021, over the last, I'm just going to say 41 years of my lifetime since 1980, and even before then, there have been a million different tropes. There are a million different character, archetypes and attributes that you can give heroes or villains. You can make a villain so despicable, get it, despicable, that you love to hate him. That's the thing about villains. You shouldn't be romanticizing the villain. You should make the villain evil enough to where we enjoy the fact that we hate the character. Take classic Beast Wars Megatron. He's a likable guy. He still wants to take over the universe, but he doesn't need to be understood. He doesn't need this writing of, oh, I lost my choo-choo and it sent me down the path of evil. No, he was always evil from the time he stole the golden disc.
Tell he was cutthroat. He didn't have a problem, you know, chopping down his own guys if the push came to shove. And,
right.
He was a stinking tyrant.
He was a villain that didn't need to be sympathized with. He didn't need to be empathized with. He was a villain that we loved to hate. And I don't mean, like, I know that you love the character. I'm not saying that you can't love a villain. What I'm saying is, we understand, again, going back to our episode 22 over on Studio 2009, fictional characters. Fictional. People have written these things up. And sometimes you get great writers, sometimes you don't. And that sucks, because when you were dealing with an IP like Transformers and it's not written well or acted well, and I don't blame the actors that they have to go by what's written. They have to go by what the writer, so I'm not saying the performances, even though whatever.
It's the writing.
Yeah, it's the writing. It always comes down to the right. Like, there are lines that I will write out for several people that I would like to do voice promos for. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about like Kyle Higgins or, Frank Todaro or whatever kind of thing. I'll write it out. Like, Frank is a perfect example. I wrote out several things for Frank, and some he did, some he didn't. And that's fine. If I write out, like, this is what I'd like you to say, but I understand if you feel that you don't want to say it, or it's not in your nature to say it as the character or something like that. That's fine. No worries. I just tried to be as creative, and I tried to get, like, again, Frank Chidaro, perfect example with Starscream from War for Cybertron. I tried to get into his head and how he voices Starscream. And I always reference those TFCon videos from a few, from 2012 or something, when it's him and John Bailey and Jason Marnoka, and one of the people ask him, and they don't know. I mean, Frank knows because Frank's a fan, but the other guy, you know, Marnosha didn't know. He's like, whose idea was it to put Starscream in charge? And that's kind of like where we got the promo for all things Transformers that we have, where it's like, you know, the one we do. And it's like, you know, he's always been in charge. He's always been the leader of Cybertron, the true leader of the, you know, it's just what fits the character. And if something I scripted didn't fit the character, I don't expect any, like, you know, because, you know, we're not, sadly, we don't have David Kay locked up in a jar somewhere. You are easily one of, if not the number one, second best to David Kay's Beast Wars Megatron. You know the character inside and out. You know, like, if I sit here and write certain things that I know that I think that he would say or he should say in his voice, and you come back at me like, yeah, it wouldn't work well, or it wouldn't, I'm like, okay, fine. Do it however you want to do it, as long as the information gets across, kind of thing. Like,
well, and that was the thing is like General Techno on Twitter mentioned when he heard the voice for Kingdom, and he says, I don't blame the actor. He says, I blame the voice director. He says, this should have never happened. He's like, you know, even with the dialogue that's given, he said, if you know how Megatron works, like his, if you can get into the, and that's part of being an actor, is if, you know, for one, if you know the character, you know, and get into the psyche, and I guarantee you they didn't have good information on these guys because some of them were so polarized off, it was hard. But he said the beautiful thing about Beast Wars Megatron is, the inflections I choose to make are different from the inflections David Kay chooses to make and the ones that General Techno makes. But they all fit the persona.
Yeah.
Whereas what we got was not fitting for the persona. And this kind of tied in here, too, was that, you know, the sad truth is that modern writers don't want to put the effort into making a new character because people might not instantly take to it.
And it's funny you say that because
like Windblade, I did not like the character in the Combiner Wars trilogy. Now in Cyberverse, I did. And, you know, it just depends on how it's written. But that's the thing, too, is that, you know, they don't want to work on building a new character. Rather, you know, unless it's comics, they want the appeal and clout of a legacy name because it requires, you know, less work. They complain when people get justifiably upset about it. You know, the go-to reaction when people don't like it lately is for writers to take to Twitter and, you know, lash out, and, you know, the fans fire back, and then it's a volley back and forth. And it's honestly, and this is something I kind of believe too, honestly, like, writers and people that are signing these NDAs should be signing a no Twitter agreement or no, because during the course of any of these shows that are running, don't engage negatively with fans because it never ends well for the show or the writer or the fans. Cause you end up polarizing someone, and often it reflects on the company employing them, which is, again, why people are so irritated with, you know, the Masters of the Universe, is because Kevin Smith, you know, he polarized them. Had he just kind of said, you know, this is a slightly different take and we're doing it in a different direction, it's going to feel in the vein of the original. And, you know, but the way that he, you know, built it up beforehand, and then he's like backpedaling afterward, and then he's like, well, the fans suck because blah, you know, and that's, we haven't really gotten that with the Transformers, but people are just argumentatively irritated with choices that are made. And I get it.
But again, here's the thing. You have and I want us to interview the guy eventually, maybe in this post or in some other post, I will link the two videos from Rodimus Primal, who interviewed FJ DeSanto. FJ DeSanto is a fan of Transformers.
Yeah.
They put their stamp on the writing, on the story, on what they wanted to do and how they wanted to do it. And that's fine, well, and good. FJ DeSanto is not. That's the thing. No one is Kevin Smith. No one is this person. No one is that person. You know, it's kind of like I recently. I've been watching the movies that made us on Netflix. And mm-hmm. I'm up to the episode about Pretty Woman. And, you know, some of the people talking, you know, some of the producers and writers and whatever, that are, that's a Disney film. That's a Gary Marshall film. That'll never work kind of thing. But it's like, you know, the problem with the whole Masters of the Universe thing, besides Kevin Smith, number one, you know, for promotional purposes, please don't spoil anything like this plot, this plot, this plot, this plot. And we talked about this over on Powers of Grayskull series. I'm like, but you spoiled Skeletor God as soon as you released the figure. And then July 1st hit.
And Kevin Smith did.
Whatever date it was. And Kevin Smith, in the beginning of that video on July 1st that he posted, said, this is Mattel Television. This is not Universal. Universal has the filmation rights, blah, 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 blah. And I understand that it's all, that's the problem with these long-standing intellectual properties. Various people, specifically with He-Man, various entities have rights to certain parts of it. So you can only use so much. That's why when I watched it, I was like, oh, this is an animated version of the toy stories. This is like the toy bios from the old days coming to life and telling a story. And yes, there's a little bit of Filmation there. Yes, there's a little bit of 2002 there. You know, there's all this kind of stuff there, and it's all well, good, and fine. But again, they said, oh, this is a continuation of Filmation, and it never mm-hmm. was. It never yeah. was.
It just felt in the vein of it, but it wasn't.
Right. No, it never was. Yeah.
So in my closing argument here, as we prepare to close down and let the listeners comment on the episode post or on Facebook, this is the thing is, stories only have so much runtime. You're not going to have enough time to flesh out everyone. So sometimes it might not be the best choice to do a gray villain that you won't be able to do properly or consistently shove MacGuffins consistently in there. So these complex evils are fascinating and can create, you know, these compelling stories and battles against the hero. But like for instance, the Transformers, the movie where Prime, against all odds, goes against Megatron and the Decepticons, takes them out, even Megatron, and then dies. Same thing with Dinobot, you know, takes them all out. But modern writers sometimes forget that the battle of good and evil doesn't always have to be morally gray. Too many writers nowadays just see these legacy stories that they're on as a paycheck. They don't understand or appreciate the actual legacy behind them, and so don't understand why you just shouldn't touch certain things. So this lack of understanding of the legacies behind those legacy stories is part of why so many modern writers insist on trying to redeem villains, usually giving them some tragic and socially acceptable backstories in order to justify what they're doing. And in some cases it works, such as, you know, like IDW, you know, recasting Megatron as a political idealist whose, you know, dreams turn into a fascist nightmare. Or,
but that was good storytelling, though.
It was. That was good storytelling. But it can fail badly because the hero ends up being written as less noble in order to help with the tragedy of the villain. So the whole conflict becomes untenable. And so many people seem intent on doing anti-heroes and sympathetic villains without actually understanding how to write them or how to make them work. There's a difference between hero who understands that he sometimes has to do bad things for the greater good and psychopath who feels that anything they do is justified because they think they're the final arbiter. So, you know, complex doesn't always have to mean tragic,
right?
You know, and in some ways, like the IDW, you know, this was written on there, the IDW Shockwave kind of encapsulates the best and worst of the complex villain, because on the one hand, you've got the tragedy of Senator Shockwave and the horrors done to him and that make him evil. On the other, you get the progression of, it was Shockwave all along, reveals, you know, every single tiniest element of plans, failures, and almost the totality of the universe being because of Shockwave. And that happened in the Marvel run, that happened in the Dreamwave run, that happened in the IDW run, and, you know, to some degree, even in the Prime universe. Like, it's, you know, there's a good and a bad way to do it. And so I guess people just need to realize what they're delving into and what their goals are before they get into writing, before they get into modifying every little minutia of it, because they could be ruining what makes the story good to begin with.
Yeah,
that's my soapbox.
Yeah, no, you're right. And the thing of it is, and the flip side of that is, though, sadly, like, okay, so over on the pull bag, I basically have the rest of 2021 plotted out as far as what I want to cover or what I feel like we have to cover. And we get submissions all the time. Sometimes I will accept them, sometimes I won't. The problem is we're getting, and look, I'm on the IDW media template, so I get all of their stuff anyway, so it isn't like I'm not, but it's just some of the stuff that young writers, that young and hungry writers want to do isn't, I always feel guilty when we end up doing that stuff, because it's like, ooh, I don't want to knock them down a peg because they're a new writer, they're just starting out, or they're just doing this project, or they're, you know, putting their heart and soul into this. But at the same time, if I don't relate to any character, whether it's hero, villain, whether it's the girl in the pink dress, I don't care. If I can't... Over on the pull bag, I always say, make your great escape into comics and jump inside the pull bag today. If I can't jump into a comic and have some sort of reaction to what's going on in the story, then I'm not going to like it, which means then I give this person who, you know, gave their all into this a negative review, and that's not good for them. It's not good for the podcast either, and that's why half the time I don't even accept them, because no offense to any new creators out there, I would much rather read a bad 80-year-old DC comic like Batman peeing on the wall or something, than something so new and so fresh. Again, it's a double-edged sword. And I know I'm being contradictive here when I say this. I don't want to read new stuff from new creators kind of thing, from people I don't even know kind of thing, but yet I want new stuff within these IPs. You know, like, do something slightly different. Do, like... 40 years ago, they would have never thought of killing Adam twice. Never. Never. I don't know. Whatever. It's just this... It's difficult to deal with the creative process, whether you're a podcaster or a writer, an animator, or whatever, because you want to put your heart and soul into this, and you have ideas for certain things, like... And sometimes you follow through with them, and sometimes you don't. And when you don't, you go back to it 7 years later, like, maybe this could work. And, hey, look at ToyCast. After Gary Clark's death, Optimus Scourge's death in 2011, I ended that show in 2014. Never thought I'd bring it back. And here it is, 7 years later, back. It just depends on the flow that you're in, and it depends on what you're trying to do. The issue, as we've already mentioned, and to close this out or to hand it back to you to close it out kind of thing, is that these companies that own these IPs want certain things in them, and you have to work around that. I don't know.
Let us know what you guys think in the comments. I really want to hear comments from the listeners here so that we can kind of discuss them on the next episode, as well as where we could go from here and how we could help them to guide them into the future and try and make these things enjoyable. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't be able to be freely able to create, you know, like you've said, but understand the source material. like really understand it and not, you know, Kingdom was too busy. We had the AllSpark, we had the Golden Disc, we had Beast Wars, we had G1, we had, you know, the Dead Universe, we had, you know, time travel, we had, there was way too much going on.
And it's six episodes. Now, if they had taken, okay, so in total.
If that would have worked into like two seasons.
That's the thing.
It would have been fine. It's just that they, and plus I'm honestly sick and tired of the AllSpark thing. Like they, that first came up actually in Beast Machines.
Yep.
And they did the Oracle and Vector Sigma, which was a callback to G1, but the AllSpark, the Well of the AllSparks, that started there and then they just dragged it on through that. And I think that that needs to take a rest for a while, but that's again, a different soapbox entirely.
Just like Unicron at number 19.
I don't even know where he landed.
He did. I know exactly. Yeah. Hello. I wouldn't have said it if I didn't know.
But yeah. Anyway. So anyways, let us know on the website. You can get a hold of me on the Twitter sphere at SCP21. And where is your Twitter, sir?
At TFG and Mike.
So thank you, as always, for listening to Altered Geek. I've been your host along with TFG and Mike. And you can get a hold of the show at Altered Geek. Or the episode post on Facebook or geekcastradio.com. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.